Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles have dropped three straight to the Yankees, and yesterday's 11-3 blowout loss felt like a new low for the group. Trey Gibson gave them a chance in his MLB debut by tossing 4 2/3 and giving up just a trio of runs. Things were all knotted up when he exited the game, and Baltimore only trailed by one heading into the eighth. But that's where things really imploded when Andrew Kittredge and Dietrich Enns let New York bat around and push seven runs across.
The one mistake to Dominguez that, you know, Kit probably wouldn't have had back, and, you know, there were some balls that found holes of a Kit. He hasn't pitched in 4 days, so it was good to get him back out there. But, you know, his stuff still looks sharp, but we just couldn't stop the bleeding that inning.
There's Craig Albernaz on what went wrong late in the game. The O's will need Shane Boz to be a stopper when they play one more in the Bronx later on tonight. The Yankees will send out Cam Schlittler with first pitch scheduled for 7:05. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sun with temps warming up to the mid-70s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cookie late turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
You know, we've agreed to terms with Calais. He'll be here sometime this week to kind of finalize things. Really excited about it. This guy, you know, he had 6.5 sacks last year. He's still playing at such an unbelievable level. We all know what type of man and person and teammate and leader that he is. And so that's like, but this is because he's such a really good player, you know, at this age and where he's at. He'll really help us.
NFL lunch, that's Jesse Minter here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, Bob Adi, Vince Rod, and Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Talking about the acquisition of Calais Campbell, and they'll get everything signed and straight in a way that sounds like this week. And we just talked about this, Vinny, with Sam Cohn from the Baltimore Sun. Calais Campbell comes in. He's going to be 40 on September the 1st.
So before the first
so
game.
By the time the season starts, he'll be 40 years old. But coming off 3 years, and we talked about it a little bit on Friday, since he left Baltimore, his last year with the Ravens was in 2022. Goes to Atlanta, 17 games. Let's see, 58 tackles, 6.5 sacks, 24 in Miami when the Ravens tried to get him back.
Anthony Weaver was down there.
Yep, 17 games, 52 tackles, 5 sacks. And then last year going back to Arizona where he started his career, played in a Super Bowl. That one of the Steelers, one of the great Super Bowls of all time. I know Steelers won it, but it was a great game. 17, 43, and 6.5. So since he's left Baltimore, let me do my GED math here. He's had 18 sacks in 3 years. Stats that rival, outside of Matt Ibike's bust-out season in 2023, he's rivaled anybody Baltimore's had on the defensive line with performance.
And Bob, when you look at it, he's played with three horse crap defenses.
Right.
You know, so I think it'll be a really good addition, you know, for the Ravens. I think it'll be big. You know, I mean, he is big, you know, what, 6'8 or whatever, but he's familiar with here, and he probably wants to try to go win one, you know, because, I mean, you're with Atlanta, Miami, and Arizona. I mean, they're all picking early in the draft. So I think he'll have a good chance here. And if he just gets what he's averaged over the last 3 years, Bob. I mean, that would be probably better than any defensive lineman they would have.
Yep. And the concern is, does he get 40 all of a sudden? Like, right. we saw that with the Orioles, for instance. Charlie Morton got old over the course of 6 months. Chris Bassett, you know, in fairness, he pitched better as of late. You know, he's an aging player. Does Father Time just all of a sudden, you know, grab you and slow you down? And he doesn't look like a guy, Calais Campbell, that's slowing down anytime soon. And like you mentioned, the motivation to finally get a Super Bowl ring, he sees it there.
And, Bob, he must take great care of his body. You know, must eat properly, do all that, train properly. Because it seems like, Bob, he doesn't, knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt a lot either. You know, so.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a game in 3 years since he left Baltimore.
Uh-oh.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, and even he had played 12 games his first year in 2020, and that was a COVID year. That insanity. Yeah. But, you know, he's never – it's not like a guy who only plays 8 games.
No, he posts.
He hits the post.
And so does Jenkins. Jenkins posts, too. You know, we're going to have a 37-year-old and a 40-year-old.
Well, they'll have a lot of veteran experience. It'd be great if Matt Ibike was there, but I guess we're a little, we'll see how that all turns out. Jesse Minter also switched it to the offense. Talk about quarterbacks. You got Lamar, Tyler Huntley, Diego, and Fagnoni. Jesse, we going with four throughout the offseason here?
I think that's a little bit in flux, I would say. We'll kind of look at it coming out of this. I think there's a place for anywhere from 3 to 5, honestly. Especially for the off season, just to kind of make sure that we have everything covered and we're getting guys different looks and kind of what we're looking for. So I think that could be in flux, whether there's veterans out there that we may want to look at or even a couple other rookies. But I think that's a room you're always trying to just find that perfect number, and we'll continue to do that.
And I would think why five? All right. If Lamar's not at a lot of the OTAs, so then you're down to 4, you know. So I could see where they would possibly have 5. And maybe, Jesse, I don't know, because a little bit of a practice that I've seen, you know, like how they do things offensively. Do they use another quarterback on defensive drills? And, you know, I don't know how it'll be.
And with Lamar, based on his participation in the stuff 2 weeks ago, I would assume he's definitely going to be at the first OTAs. Does he show up to all 3 of them? And then mandatory, he's going to be there. And then you have training camp. So, man, I'm thinking Lamar's he's in it to win it this year.
Well, what I heard when I was out there Saturday was at the voluntary minicamp, pretty much everybody was there.
Now, Adam Randall, we talked a lot about him, and he's a draft pick that he's intriguing.
Yes, very.
Shall we say, and you're intrigued with him. He moved from wide receiver to running back at the end of 24. It was out of necessity because Clemson had a bunch of injuries, and he stepped in nicely. Thank you very much. And then Dabo turned him into a full-time back. Ravens picked him this year. Transitioning from wide receiver to running back. So here's old Adam Randall talking about that process for him.
You know, it was kind of a need for our position or our team going into the next year. We only had redshirt freshman running backs and incoming freshmen. And, you know, Coach Sweeney wanted a vet in the room, and he saw my size, my speed, and my pass catching ability. Also, you know, just my knack for running after the catch while I had the ball. And we both came to the conclusion that it could definitely be a good possibility and also a good thing for me to show my versatility for the next level. And I think it just worked out last year that, you know, I had the opportunity to, you know, show my versatility in many games and on tape. So that's really what carried me to the place that I am right now.
I think he's a very intriguing guy, you know, and I think he's going to learn a lot. I think he's going to get better. And Bob, that dude's going to carry the ball a ton in the preseason games. So he's going to have a chance to show what he can do. You know, because, you know, like I keep going back to at the mini camps 2 years ago now. Why do I forget his name? just left, went to the Chargers.
Oh, Keaton Mitchell.
Keaton Mitchell. Yeah, because Keaton Mitchell, like, nobody knew who Keaton Mitchell was, undrafted free agent, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, damn, who's that guy? You know, and then all the media were talking. He just outruns angles. You know, I mean, he stood out. So is Adam Randall going to be like is, because he can run, but is everybody going to say, damn, looks just like Derrick Henry? I mean, that's what you hope that the media and everybody's saying is, damn, he looks like a young Derrick Henry.
It's depth chart's not out yet, of course, but would you place him above Rasheen Ali?
No, he's got to be fourth right now. He's packing got to earn his stripes.
NFL Lunch, Vinny and Haney, 105 Show the Fan. Nolan's on the other side of the glass. Venga Ioane, the Ravens' first-round draft pick, a pick that has been praised pretty much by most of the draft experts slash analysts. He's first camp and was talking about moving around, playing left and right guard.
Yeah, for me at Penn State, I played both left and right, a little bit of center as well. You know, shout out to Phil Charwin, my line coach at Penn State. You know, he made sure every day we were rotating left and right just to, you know, get used to it. But out here, it's, you know, definitely a little bit of work to get used to again, but ain't much to it.
So it sounds like they want him to learn. They don't want him just zeroed in on one just in case. You know, maybe they might need him to play right guard, you know, and we'll see. You know, I mean, if he is, I'm guessing, I would think that your draft pick, you know, you don't want to make life difficult for him. Just put him at left guard, put him in there, and then Simpson, who's been around a long time, figure that he would be able to move around a little bit.
Now, he mentioned that he's played center. When Eric DaCosta did the Liar's Luncheon, he talked about he's the, if you're central casting for a guard, Venga's your dude. So I'm thinking we'd all be flabbergasted if he's playing center for the Ravens this year. Or they've had 8 bazillion injuries in that position.
I think you're right, Bob. I think we'd be flabbergasted if he was playing center for them.
All right, when we come back, we're flabbergasted by how bad the Orioles have been defensively this year. But then again, we're kind of accepting that that's the reality of the situation. Taking on the Yankees tonight. It's the American League East Report coming up next. Then Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com. Talk about Patrick Mahomes being ready for OTAs. Does that mean he'll be ready for the season opener? Hey, we forget the Chiefs are the dominant team in the AFC for over half a decade. And then Denver comes out of nowhere and makes a run to the AFC Championship game. How are we forgetting who the real kings of the West are?
Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Sponsored by Petro. For the best AC system tune-up and repair services, go with your local HVAC pros. Go with Petro. Visit Petro.com or call 844-482-2496 today.
Top of your American League East Report here on this Monday. ESPN, David Schoenfeld, has given out grades for April for throughout Major League Baseball. For instance, Braves get an A+. Yankees get an A. Afonso, A. And Tampa gets an A-. I mean, I mean, strong grade, no doubt about it. I think they've far been exceeding expectations. The Orioles, well, I said the Orioles this year were going to be just like the Blue Jays last year. Well, the Orioles and Blue Jays this year are kind of the same. He gives them both a C-. And talked about the Orioles. It's hard to get a read on Baltimore. They played one of the easiest schedules so far, but are under 500. Rotation has not been good. Traded a bunch of prospects for Shane Boz, whose K rate's down. He's been getting hit around a little bit. Let's not forget they also extended him contract-wise. Gunnar Henderson's too good of a hitter to be hitting just over 200 with a ton of Ks. They've churned through 22 pitchers already.
Damn.
With Rodgers, Helsley, Kramer, and Eplin on the IL. there's some underperforming players, you know, like Gunner, Alonzo, Basayo, others. He said if the offense picks it up and the guys get back to where they should be, the offense could be lethal, which is probably good because the pitching doesn't look like it will be as much. Toronto got a C- as well. They've had a ton of injuries just like the Orioles. And makes you feel any better, Boston got an F. And they've already fired their manager, and you know, it is what it is. Orioles yesterday, they got an F for shoddy fielding. They only got one error, but it felt like six. Yeah. You know what I mean? Good. 11-3 was the final score. Trey Gibson made his debut, who, by the way, a couple of days ago was named as the Orioles' number one prospect by ESPN as well, ahead of Nate George and Enrique Bradfield. I thought he was fine. I'm not ready to put him in the Orioles Hall of Fame. And we had a caller earlier. I think it was Bob. You know, when's the last time the Orioles have developed a Mike Mussina-level pitcher? Well, that goes back over 30 years. It's not just a Mike Elias thing. It's been going on for a long time. I mean, Eric Bedard was a talented guy coming out of the minors and was really good at the major league level. Pitched for bad teams, but if you look at some of his best games, he was as dominant as any guy ever pitched for the Orioles. Good news with Bedard, they flipped him into Adam Jones, Chris Tillman, and a bunch of other guys who helped the renaissance of the Orioles in the early 2010s with Buck Showalter. But yesterday, the Orioles lose 11-3 as the Yankees have clobbered them. Birds have lost four consecutive games, all four losses by five runs or more. So got to get it tightened up today. Shane Boz, the aforementioned, he's 1-2 with a 450. Orioles are 15-19 on the year, 6-10 on the road. Yankees coming in here tonight, 23-11, 11-5 at home. Cam Schlittler, 4-1, 1-150. 7:05 first pitch, BBT tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. St. Nolan's Tim and Ryan tonight, getting you ready for this game where the Orioles are trying to avoid the sweep. Elsewhere in the division this weekend, Twins taking on the Toronto Blue Jays, and Minnesota got off to an early start, made it hold up.
Hard hit past Sosa on into right field. They're going to try it with Larnick waving him around to score. No play at the plate. Twins on the board first this afternoon at home.
That's Peacock on the call. 4-3 was the final score. Minnesota handles their business against Toronto. That's Caratini. RBI single gets him rolling. Joe Ryan, however, left the game in the first inning with an elbow issue for Minnesota. So that's another pitcher down for them. And Joe Ryan's a guy, Nolan, we were talking about, hey, if Minnesota's, you know, unpacking, you know, maybe he could come help the old Orioles out, but
it's not good for the market in general.
No.
And I mean, there's always pitchers available, and there'll surely be some teams that didn't expect to be out of it. They will be out of it and selling, but I thought this year might have been down compared to the average year in terms of starters being coveted, so he was the top name for sure.
Those teams split the four-game series. Houston taking on the Red Sox up at Fenway. Orioles took 2 out of 3 from Houston. Astros did leave by kind of beating the Orioles up a little bit. Their second game of that doubleheader, but extras against Boston.
Cam drives one to left field. That is over the head and off the wall. In the score, Trumaine. In the score, Altuve. Cam got a little excited going to second. He's now in a rundown. Here comes Matthews trying to score. He'll be out at home plate. Astros score 2.
Space City Network on the call. Cam Smith, 2-run single in the 10th off the Green Monster. That was the final score, 3-1, even though there were some base-running blunders going on, as you heard during the call. Astros take 2 out of 3 from Boston in that series. And then Tampa, the Rays, take it on the San Francisco Giants, and they just don't want to lose, and they kept it rolling yesterday.
And a little popper into short right center. Going to fall, and that's going to do it. Simpson races home, and the Rays win it 2-1.
Dwayne Stats on Rays TV. Chandler Simpson scoring on the Jonathan Rhonda single in the 10th inning. 2-1, as you heard, was the final score. And Tampa sweeps the series over the San Francisco Ball Club, kind of struggling themselves out west. Today in the American League East, Boston is at Detroit, Blue Jays at the Rays, and the Orioles, as we've talked about, they're in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. Standings update, as we do every Monday. Yankees game and a half up on Tampa. Tampa's 9-1 in their last 10 games, but 21-12 on the year. They're doing some really good things. Toronto has passed the Orioles. Birds have lost four in a row. They're in fourth place. Boston bringing up the rear. They're 10 games back. Detroit and Cleveland are tied for first in the AL Central. Chicago's only a game and a half out. What? The White Sox? Your boy keeps hitting home runs, Nolan, because people keep throwing him fastball.
I had to look up the split on what it is the other day. Now, I don't know through the weekend, but it was like 9 fastball, 4 or 5 off speed. Well, he's good. Mike Harmon last...
Comma.
Yes, that's who we're talking about. Yeah. Not Mydroth. I mean, he'll hit anything, I'm sure. But Harmon sounded bummed. He's like, oh, it's only inevitable that this guy signs with the Yankees or the Dodgers in a couple years. I mean, we'll wait and see how his career goes, but like, I don't know. I thought it was a fine, as much as I don't like him, I thought it was a fine signing for the White Sox because he's doing exactly what you would have hoped. Hit a bunch of home runs, increase the trade value, flip him at the deadline. He's not going to stay long-term anyway. Get something out of him.
Kansas City's in fourth place. They've won 3 in a row, 7 of 10, and we just talked about the Twins. They're banged up. A lot of problems going on there injury-wise. A's are 2 games up in the West over the Rangers. Atlanta, 8.5 game lead. In the National League's East, they've won 3 in a row. Acuna, I believe, goes on this shelf with a hammy there. Chicago, they're on fire. They've won 5 in a row. They're 2 games up on the Cardinals and the Reds. Reds just got swept by the Pirates. Every team in that division's above 500. So the NL Central doing some good things. By the way, Braves yesterday, Jorge Mateo and Jonah Heim both homered to help their cause in the win to former Orioles there. Dodgers, half game up on the Padres. Everybody else in the West, Diamondbacks, Rockies, and Giants are on losing streaks that are at least 4 games. That's your update, Major League Baseball, here on this Monday. When we come back, shift back to football as we get into our Jeff Virginia segment from NFL.com. Talk about the Chiefs, the AFC West in general, and the Ravens. They were one of the most disappointing teams of football last year. How do they redeem themselves in 26?
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The newest Ravens were out in Owings Mills over the weekend for rookie minicamp as they begin to acclimate to life in the NFL. It also served as Jesse Minter's first chance to be an on-field head coach and run his own practice structure. Even though the work is relatively light compared to what's coming later on this summer, he says there was a lot to be gained in this early portion of the program.
We're not really full gear, so we're trying to be smart from a physicality standpoint. But I really just enjoyed the guys' urgency, like their eagerness to want to learn, their eagerness to want to get better. They learn how we operate going from drill to drill and doing the different things that we try to do.
And last night, the first round of the NBA playoffs came to a close with a pair of Game 7s. The Pistons completed their comeback from a 3-1 series deficit to beat the Magic 116-94 and avoid embarrassment as the one seed. They'll now face off against the Cavaliers in the next round after Cleveland took down Toronto 114-102. Jared Allen scored 22 and added 19 rebounds to fuel that winning effort. 14 of those points and 10 of those rebounds came in the third quarter alone. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Dr. Lairfield Smile Design Center. Call 410-321-1100 to schedule your appointment today. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sun with temps warming up to the mid-70s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, Ravens just wrapped up rookie minicamp. Schedule release coming out soon, I guess. We know the Ravens are playing Dallas in Brazil week 3. That'll be a 4:25 Eastern kickoff on CBS, ladies and gentlemen. And here to talk about post-draft stuff and how rosters are situated right now with other maneuvering still yet to happen from NFL.com, NFL Network, Let's welcome back to the program on the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Jeffrey Chedia. Jeffrey, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there, man. And let's start with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he obliterated his knee, was finished for the season. Kansas City was already in the midst of a disappointing year. That kind of put a fork in him. But I know Andy Reid said that Patrick Mahomes could be ready, limited basis for OTAs. I mean, is there a chance, Jeffrey, that when the Chiefs kick off their 2026 regular season in September, date and time and opponent to be determined, that he'll be the starting quarterback?
There's a chance, and they like to keep that option open because Patrick Mahomes is a very competitive person. I know he wants to be out there on week one, and he's rehabbing his butt off. He's seen the videos online of the work he's been doing, but they're also realistic about this, and they realize what he means. And I have a hard time believing that if he's not 100%, close to 100%, that they would put him out there for week one just to make a statement. I think they want to be smart about this. They're hoping he can get there, but there's a long way to still go with this rehab process.
Now, what's up? But what's the latest with, is Kelsey around the building at all, Jeffrey, there?
I haven't heard much about him being around. I think he's probably going to be showing up for the mandatory minicamp in June. I don't know much about his whereabouts. Usually he's been gone the last couple of years around this time. And to be honest, Mahomes, aside from the rehab part of it, probably would not have been around until later in the summer and the spring as well, because usually he's holding a passing camp down in Texas with Kelsey and the other receivers. They're going, you know, down there a couple times a year in the first phases of the voluntary part of this offseason training. So for Mahomes to be around is different, and Kelsey, I doubt, is going to be showing up anytime before June.
Jeffrey, what are the Steelers waiting for? I don't quite get it. You know, he's 40. I mean, if he was 25, I'd wait all day. But 43, I'd move on.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, right? They've done so much in the offseason to improve their receiving core. I like the moves they've made. But it's hard to believe a team, an organization that's been that successful, such a story part of the NFL, has gotten itself into this position. And I don't even know what you gain by having Aaron Rodgers back this year. I doubt they're going to be better than they were last year, which was a 9-18, you know, first round exit, maybe make the playoffs. And so what are you really getting out of going down this road again? It's different if you're adding Tom Brady to a Bucs team that is, you know, great defense, all these things in place, and he's still, you know, playing at a super high level. So I agree with you that why they wouldn't go out and find a quarterback, a different option, and move forward, because it just seems like they're spinning their wheels, and they keep doing it.
Now, Jeffrey, can you see Deshaun Watson being the starter in Cleveland this year?
I could see it. It's hard to believe in it right now, just because of everything he's gone through. But he's the best option in terms of talent and experience, accomplishments in this league. But I don't know where he's at health-wise. I don't know what he's going to look like. I know that, you know, it's a different offense coming in now, and that's always was a big part of what was going on there when Kevin Stefanski was the head coach. It didn't fit what they were trying to do. So even without the injuries, it still didn't work out well for them. But Tom Monken coming in, you know, he did amazing things with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, obviously, and he may have a different look, a different idea about Deshaun Watson, how he fits. So I think there's a really good chance, but I still think that Shedeur Sanders has shown some things and had some possibilities, and the money part of this is real. Like, if you don't see Deshaun being your long-term future, like, Shedeur should be somebody you think about a lot, or Dylan Gabriel.
Now, Jeffrey, what are you thinking about the AFC West? You know, and when do you think – you think Cousins starts for the Raiders initially?
Oh, yeah. I certainly feel like that's the way they're going to go with the Raiders as far as Mendoza sitting and Kirk Cousins coming in. They wouldn't have made that move without thinking long and hard about it. You know, he's got a relationship with Clint Kubiak. He's going back to their time in Minnesota. He knows the offense. Mendoza's really got to transition away from being a shotgun, primarily a shotgun guy in college. He only was under center twice last season. And Tom Brady certainly is a big part of this, and believe in the idea of sitting quarterbacks and letting grow. And so I think they want to put him in the best possible position that they can. They've done a really good things in the offseason with their moves, building the defense up and adding more weapons. But, you know, the AFC West is going to be interesting. But I still think people are talking about the Chiefs a lot and what they might do with their, you know, with Mahomes coming back. But I still think the Broncos and the Chargers are the two best teams in that division.
Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com, NFL Network, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get to the AFC South. Yeah, Jacksonville had the monster regular season at 13-4. Houston, 12-5. Both went into the postseason on significant winning streaks. Of the two quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud, who have both faced their level of criticism, who do you have the most faith in going into 2026 here?
Well, I'm a big believer in Trevor Lawrence right now because I love the way that he played in that first year with Liam Cohen. And Liam Cohen did some really good things as far as the structure of the offense and the weapons around him and the way he coached Trevor Lawrence. And you know he'd had success with Baker Mayfield in Tampa as an offensive coordinator. So that was a huge, huge thing to see for that program because I was not on Trevor Lawrence going into last year. And I thought he was severely overpaid. And we'll see what happens because they have not done a whole lot in the offseason. And it's, you know, it's easy to be great for 1 year in this league, but to come back and do it again and again and again is going to be hard. So it's going to be tougher on them. I have higher hopes for C.J. Stroud. They rebuilt the offensive line. You know, it's a make-or-break year for him. I have to believe that there's still a lot of what we saw as a rookie still in him. And so if they can protect him, he's got a shot. But that's the big thing. Can they protect him? Because it's been an ordeal the last couple of years.
Now, Jeffrey, the AFC North has three new coaches, and I was at the rookie mini camp over the weekend. It just seemed weird being out there, Jeffrey, and not seeing John Harbaugh.
I know. I saw some of the clips of the coach.
Jesse Minter.
Jesse Minter, yeah. I was about to say Rick Minter, his dad. And
Rick was there, too.
It looked like a kid who just snuck on the field and was playing coach. It looked like a Rick. I was like, this is like a Make-A-Wish Foundation type situation. But I really am a big fan of his. Obviously, he coached at Michigan. I went to Michigan. I'm a big fan of what he's done, both there and with the Chargers. And what I love about the Ravens this year is that they're really, I think the defense is going to get back to being what it's been. Yep. And no knock on Zach Orr, but I think you mentor's been successful bringing Anthony Weaver back. I just think there's a huge, huge commitment to it, and Trey Henderson is going to make a difference. And so I like that element. I think for that team, as great as they've been offensively, what Lamar has done with the MVPs, it's like Pittsburgh. When they're throwing the ball over the place, that's not who they are. It's about toughness and beating people up and defense. And so I think the Ravens are the same way. And so it's good to see that element having the chance to really evolve again.
Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com, NFL Network. Jeffrey, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Jeffrey Chedia, who I guess now works for ESPN, which they kind of bought NFL Network. Oh. By the way, speaking of NFL Network, we no longer get it here at the Fan because it's an Xfinity cable system here, and they're negotiating with ESPN for a new contract there for NFL Network.
Yeah.
No more Good Morning Football, at least for now. Now, personally, I live in Anne Arundel County. I have Fios, so it doesn't affect me, but it affects us here in the studio. When we come back, talk to Nolan McGraw, take a trip through the Funhouse. Inside Access coming up at 2, and then Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Boz and Schlettler battle heart-darn righties at Yankee Stadium. Birds trying to avoid the sweep.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Montreal Canadiens have pulled off the impossible. Despite being held to an NHL record low of just 9 shots on goal, the Habs outlasted the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 in a thrilling Game 7. Alex Newhook's third period goal sealed the series, sending Montreal to the second round for a date with the Sabres. It's a heartbreak for my Tampa Bay Lightning, but the Canadiens' underdog story continues. I'm Addie Bates.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
Hey, 81057 The Fan here on this Monday. Orioles tonight taking on the Yankees, as you heard during Nolan's update. BBT at 6, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Then it's off to Miami, taking on the Marlins. We'll start previewing that series tomorrow on Turn It Up Tuesday. Ravens rookie minicamp in the rearview mirror. But getting back to something we just talked about before we get to Nolan with Jeffrey Chedia, C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence. C.J. Stroud had a miserable playoff game.
Ugh. I felt bad for him. He was so bad.
I mean, Drake May wasn't exactly all that great either. But no. You know, it's like, who can match the turnovers here? But after his rookie year, he was a sneaky MVP guy.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really returned to that level. He's been in the playoffs every year he's been in the league, and he's won a couple of games. They did pick up his fifth-year option, but, you know, maybe it's as simple as what Jeffrey said, keep him upright and let him do it. He's had some injuries, the running game hadn't been all that great for him. We'll see. And Trevor Lawrence, maybe the Liam Cohen magic potion was just what he needed, even though they have a new running back situation going on here, too.
Well, both, you know what, both have, Bob, outstanding defenses, you know, and I think that helps, especially in Houston, because he made so many mistakes. But like you said, they have no run game whatsoever. So it's all on him, you know, and then they had some injuries outside. Collins is a hell of a player.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Bobby cut his hair, got in great shape. They say changed his body, got a lot stronger. So he realized he was probably embarrassed as hell. How am I that bad?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because he was as bad as you think. It was awful.
And speaking of young quarterbacks trying to bounce back after disappointing sophomore seasons, Jaden Daniels in Washington, another guy that was running for his life, no running game,
yeah,
and other issues that he had to deal with, too. A year removed from being a guy. I mean, things went so bad in Washington, Cliff Kingsbury went from being a genius to getting fired.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, back to, like, you were mentioning, like, Drake May. I mean, he was being talked about all year as the MVP of the league. And then, you know, some of those playoff games, like, that's MVP?
Yeah. I don't know. We shall see. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people over there?
Tyrod Taylor is a Packer. Oh. I got that for you. Musical chairs in the quarterback world. That's about it.
He's carved out a nice little niche there, Tyrod Taylor.
No
sometime
doubt.
Starter, a lot of time backup. He ain't hurting for his next meal, that's for sure. Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Matt in New Orleans, who says the O's are cooked. They suck, and it isn't even fun to watch or listen to anymore. I know a few fans out there who are holding out some sort of delusional hope, but a lot of fans, we know, this team still doesn't have adequate starting pitching or a bullpen, and the outfield remains a giant question mark. I don't know where the hope can exist in a world of reality. Time to face the music. It's already over again.
Well, I'm still going to watch the games. I don't know about you. And we'll hope for the best. You know, they're only a game out of the wild card. Not because they're this gigantic baseball giant that needs to be dealt with. I mean, because the rest of the American League's just like the Orioles. Mediocre. It'd be nice if some of their best players started playing like that, too. Yeah. That'd be all right.
That's what really sucked about the Alonso thing. Like Friday night when he hit that homer into the second deck, I was like, oh, man, there it is. This is what we've been waiting on.
Yeah,
like,
to left field?
Yeah, he's going to take off.
Well, that was Saturday.
Oh, they crushed that
one. Friday hit the one to the opposite field.
Right. Saturday, it was like that thing was out of there in no time.
Scott in Sarasota says, I vividly remember in Little League being told to always get in front of the ball. So when I see Wilson stab his glove at the grounder yesterday and watch it wind up in left field, I was fuming. With all these glaring defensive lapses, what in the world did Albernaz have them practicing all spring? Then you throw in the mental lapses, getting picked off. It's intolerable. Can't watch anymore.
Even Blaze, when he had the little blooper that scored the run, falls coming around second base.
Yep.
And with Wilson, well, he's right-handed. I mean, the way it hit his glove, like on his thumb, it was like it didn't even like bounce in and out or off the top. It like hit him on the inside finger. It was like, dude, what are you doing?
How about here? The one when he stepped to the side? You know, and is that the same
That's
one?
That's one we're talking about.
Yeah.
As far as an injury excuse or, you know, maintaining hope that some of the guys that aren't here would make things different, Texter here says that's as if Holiday and Westberg were actually the answer to the infield situation or the hitting. Neither of them has shown a long enough resume to believe in. Flashes are great, but they don't equal sustained talent. And since they're always injured, well, I guess we're just trying to will it into existence to make us happy, despite not having enough of a resume to believe in.
I don't know if Holiday's always injured.
This
first
is time.
First major
yeah.
injury.
Westberg,
though,
every game last
Westberg
year.
That's another issue. Because he got hurt in 23, 24. Last year was kind of a debacle for him. And this year, we haven't seen him and probably won't see him anytime soon.
And last one here, Texter says, how can you overrun first base on a ball hit to right field, still get thrown out at first? The play was right in front of him. Something is off with this team. The pitching struggles, the defensive struggles, offensive hot and cold. Their excessive base running struggles as well. Is this a managing problem or a lack of professional talent?
I just think it's a low baseball IQ problem. Guys trying to do too much and then getting themselves. I mean, he just fell going around first base, plays Alexander. By the way, finally had two hits because his batting average was sitting there at the cruiserweight level. At a .180, they're just a flawed team. Injured, flawed, struggling. They're annoying. That's my word. I watch the Orioles. I get annoyed trying to sit through that. You know what would not be annoying? Probably unlikely. About dropping a five spot on Schlittler in the first couple of innings here and then let Boz cook from there. That wouldn't be annoying. That'd actually be enjoyable to watch.
Until the bullpen implodes.
All right, and then we get back to what the texter said, reality.
Yep.
Well, we come back tomorrow. Hopefully, we're talking about the Orioles salvaging one in the Bronx before they head to Miami. Talk about the Ravens, more from the rookies as they spoke with the media over the weekend. Talk about the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs and everything else that's going on your Sports Tuesday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. For now, class dismissed.
Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Pat Boyle here to help you get a look at Lefty One Sports. Knicks Sixers at the Garden tonight. I think the Knicks take care of business because of their rest advantage. Philly just played a highly emotional physical Game 7 in Boston on Saturday. Now have a quick turnaround to play the Knicks here on Monday. Most games in this series will probably be decided by less than 7 points, but not Game 1 in my opinion. Perfect opportunity for the Knicks to hit the ground running in this series. I think they cover. I'm Pat Boyle. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.